Looking back on the KC debacle and ahead to Sunday's game with LA, here's D-Mac, Tyler Palumbus, Orlando Franklin, and Nate Jackson.
I know Orlando loves the country.
I spent last night in the arms of a girl.
Oh, come on, I don't know if Bingo knows this. Do you think Orlando knows this? Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's a strange combination of a woman and a child.
Such
a strange situation. Stopping every 100 miles. Calling down the rules.
Come on, he's an offensive lineman. What are you thinking right now? You think he doesn't know country?
You're a songbird, Orlando. That's a beautiful voice.
Yeah, really. I tried.
You didn't know the words. You don't try hard.
Why are you always chirping me, D-Mac?
What?
Listen, well, man,
I need to hear
exhausting.
Your voice.
Nate? Yeah. Orlando, I'll come in there and fight you. You weigh a lot less. God, by the way, thank God I'm on a little good program and I'm losing weight myself, because if Orlando Franklin passed, if I passed Orlando in weight, and let me tell you, where we were barreling down that path if I didn't get my act together. What are you working on this week, Nate? Because it's the Chargers. And
yeah.
If you haven't heard Nate's songs, oh my God, are they great? Is that something we all look forward to at the end of the week? It's really been fantastic.
The best, dude.
So,
thanks, man. Hey, I really love, like, I listen to it with my wife and my kid. I listen to you guys premiere it. It's like my music is on the radio.
It's on the radio. It was, it's been incredible. I don't know why I did a Chiefs hype track.
But... How was it a Chiefs hype track? I was making fun of Travis Kelce. I was making fun of Tyreek Hill. I was making fun of Andy Reid. I said, blitz a little bit. Send your dogs to get to the quarterback. All I did was do some audio of them winning. You
I
know,
think
that.
That's what it was.
I and you know what? When I talked to you guys about what I was going to do, I thought I was doing something else, the Beastie Boy stuff.
Right.
And so you guys were confused.
Turnaround. That was like a 24-hour turnaround.
By the way, if you're going to do that, send me a little heads
up. Yeah, I know. I
because
I know.
We talked about it. We're like, well, we're going to play it.
Right.
We love it. So we want to hear it for the first time.
Yeah.
So I'm setting the whole thing up, and I'm like, here comes Beastie Boys. And,
yeah, you were a little confused.
And I was like, boy, I guess I don't know all the Beastie Boys.
Hey, no. Nate, I'm thinking feature. Have your people call my people.
Okay.
Yeah, we got to get Orlando on a track.
I mean, I could bang a cowbell in the background.
Hey, more merrier, right?
Yeah.
Just do anything.
We're
Let's get crazy.
You got a theme for this week with the
San Diego Chargers.
That's all.
Maybe I was thinking maybe some Ron Burgundy references.
There you go. Keep San Diego in San Diego.
Exactly.
Forget about Los Angeles. Yeah. All right. You guys, offensive players, you've been around the block. I'm going to pose this as if you guys are veterans, all right? And Drew Lock comes to the sideline. This is kind of a metaphorical sideline, but Drew Lock is over to the sideline. What are you saying today to Drew Lock? What are you saying to Drew Lock today?
I'm telling him, hey, man, relax. Relax, buddy. You can't do this all by yourself. And it seemed as if against the Chiefs, he thought he had to be Patrick Mahomes. He had to do it all himself. And he seemed like that game was a little big for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a lot of implications to him. Oh, it's my hometown team. This is Super Bowl champs. This is our division rivals. I got to do this. I got to do it all myself. You don't. You don't. In fact, we expect you to be a rookie quarterback because that's basically what you are. So don't try to do too much, man. Just take what they give you. Just make those easy throws. He said he's missing throws that he made in Pop Warner.
Yeah.
Why is that happening? Why are you missing Pop Warner throws, Drew? And it's a psychological problem for him. So chill out. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Quarterbacks need to be even keeled. You score a touchdown, yay, pump your fist. But are you going to go, you know, you don't want to go crazy when things are going well, and you don't want to get so down in the dumps when they're not. So I would say, hey, man, chill out.
Okay.
Tyler? Yeah, I mean, well, first off, I mean, if we're talking actual game day, I wouldn't say anything. I would say, you're good, man, let's go. I hated when people would give speeches in the middle of a game, especially if somebody gave up and gave me a speech in the middle of the game, that means I suck. And, like, if you come up to me and you're telling me all the things that I need to change, all the things that I could do better, man, I mean, that's just not what I needed. I've never been a speech guy, but, you know, you get in the film room, you get in during the practice week. Now that's a different story. Now you can talk about mentorship. Now you can talk about trying to truly help a guy. And
all right, maybe not on the sideline. Maybe
yeah, not sidelines again.
You're at the locker.
Yeah,
you're in the locker or eating a large pizza.
What it really comes down to, and I've been harping on it all day. So sorry if you guys heard me say it 5 times already, but really, dude, you need to truly, practice. Every single time you walk up to the line of scrimmage in practice, you should call out the defense. You should call out the coverage. Before you even snap the ball, tell me what the coverage is. Because if you can pre-snap identify what the defense is, what the coverage that they are in, you will know 90% of the time where you're going to put that ball. Now, every now and then, they might surprise you. They might rotate the safety, and all of a sudden, you'll get caught off guard. You thought it was single high, ends up in two high. But the majority of the time, you're going to be able to pre-snap identify, and that's what we need to work on. So every day when we come out to practice, I want you to walk up to the line of scrimmage before you start your cadence. Tell me it's an under front cover two. Under front cover two. Let's go. All right. Now I know that you've identified things and you're thinking through things a little bit more clearly, and it's going to help him tremendously.
All right, Orlando, you're at the locker, not sideline. You're in the locker room. You're sitting down. You're having time. The players are just there. And just for the sake of argument, his locker's next to yours. What are you telling him?
You know, just understand your hot reads. What makes you hot on each and every play? You know, how many people do they have to bring in? Is the running back in? Is the tight end helping you in the block? So once you understand your hot reads, I feel like at that point, that's when the offense starts to evolve, where now you're able to switch up things with wide receivers, tight ends, their routes that they're running, and maybe you get into a screen or two. You know, I think with Drew Lock, that's the big thing. He needs to go up there at the line of scrimmage each and every time, and when he sees zero, you need to be checking into a running back screen right there. Or you need to be checking into a slip screen with one of these wide receivers where these are high percentage throws that are, gets the ball out of his hands quick, but it's not a lot of looking down the field and scanning and seeing where guys are moving or how they're playing. So I think right now the game's just moving a little bit too fast for him. Mm. And Pat Shurmur and this offense needs to slow it down and give him some things, some fail safes that's going to help him. You know, run the screen game, run your shallow crossing routes. He needs to continue to get through his progression. I know that he loves tight ends. So for me, because of looking at 17 targets this past week, if I so happen to get tempted enough to go 3-by-1, I'm going to put the tight end on the backside, where I know he's going to look at the 3 side, but he's going to at least get back to the 1 side and go through the whole progression that he needs to make sure that he's successful on the play. But he just needs to slow it down a little bit. It's a lot of nerves. I like what Tyler said. When you're playing against KC, it's your hometown. There's so much, you know, there's so much back and forth. Andy Reid's coached your dad. He knows your name. You want to do well. For him, he just needs to calm down and play within the system.
You know, I guess I should ask you guys, have you guys ever felt the need or felt like I should or have done talk to the starting quarterback about something in your careers? Has that moment really ever happened with you guys?
Not me. I mean, I've gone up to him and said, hey, give me an 18, give me a 16 power. I've said stuff like that, but I've never once talked to a quarterback.
Like,
about,
you never went to RG3 and just been like, hey, dude.
About his reads, about his progressions.
About anything.
No, never.
I think I've talked to Jay about exactly what I just told you about
Cutler.
Drew.
Jay Cutler.
Yeah. Hey, relax, man. You know,
you've had that moment.
All good. Well, yeah, just because, and then this is around practice. This is work related stuff. When he's got the job, Jake Plummer was the guy. Jay's all of a sudden handed the keys to the ship, and there's a lot on your plate. You know, as the Denver Broncos starting quarterback, it's all coming down on you, man. Everywhere you look, every station you turn on, every radio station, every website, they're all talking about you. So how do you separate yourself from that chatter and just remember, I'm a football player on this team. I'm one of 53. I have one job to do. And don't make it any bigger than that.
Or Orlando?
You better step your ass up. You better get up in that pocket.
To Peyton?
No, you better get up in that pocket unless you want to get killed.
Orlando, you worked with Peyton and Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, and I wasn't saying nothing to either one of those guys.
Right.
And then my rookie year, I had Kyle Orton that used to tell me, shut up, rookie, every day. So I wasn't saying too much to him as well. I think with the quarterback position, that's why you have offensive coordinators. That's why you have a quarterback coach. You know, with quarterbacks, it's weird. I look at the quarterback of each and every team like a goalie in hockey, you know, where their minds, they're just moving 1,000 miles an hour, and there's way too many lows and way too many highs. So I'm not saying anything to throw them off their game. I'm just trying to take care of my business when I've been out there on the field.
I want to talk about...
You've yelled at a quarterback to get up in the pocket, though. I know you have. Come on. Don't lie to me.
Who?
Well,
I told you.
For Orlando. I mean,
Kyle Orton told me to shut up probably once a day.
That's
and then
true.
With Tim
that's
Tebow,
true.
I was like, hey, this is the world we live in.
I'm not
and you're
lying.
Not telling Peyton to get up in the pocket.
I'm not going to lie. It's probably once a game we would yell at Robert to get up in the pocket. Probably once a game.
I want you guys to think about what you would do to defend your quarterback, and we'll get to that next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Looking back on the KC debacle and ahead to Sunday's game with L.A., here's D-Mac, Tyler Palumbus, Orlando Franklin, and Nate Jackson.
All right, I just got to ask you guys.
You feel like you want to just give up.
And I know what Tyler's answer is, so maybe I'll start with Orlando. And I don't mean to leave you out of this, Nate.
Leave me out.
I'm happy to have your opinion on things, but
We really don't.
When you see your quarterback just get destroyed, that you saw Andy Dalton get hit like he got hit. And by the way, I did go back, Tyler, and watch that play. There's no way the offensive lineman didn't see that play.
Which one?
When Andy Dalton got lit up in the head.
Gotcha.
And because that happened way in front of where all the offensive linemen would be.
No.
What is your responsibility as an offensive lineman? This is kind of, you know, the unwritten rules of football. What are the unwritten rules of football when you see your quarterback just get destroyed?
I would have beat the crap out of Bostic. And I would have said,
hey,
Andy.
Immediately.
You got to help me pay my fine, okay? You got to help me get back to the hole.
But that would have been your response right away?
Absolutely. You know, I've been ejected in college for games and for stuff like that. You know, I don't play when it comes to things like that. The dirty hits, there's no place in this game. You already have to worry about guys getting injured without dirty hits. So I would have went right after him. I would have been ejected right there with him. He's getting ejected. I'm getting ejected as well. And I would have talked to Andy once he got his mind straight and said, hey, I need some help. You got me, right? With the fine.
Jerry Jones would have helped you with that fine, too.
Tyler, right. You had a very different response.
I really didn't. I said if I saw it, I would do something about it. But my assumption here is that 95% of the time, you don't have any clue what happened.
They would have seen that and play for sure.
So,
100%.
So, like the majority of the time when something dirty happens, I'm engaged with my guy. And if something happens 10 yards away from me, I'm not going to go get involved in a fight that I didn't see anything of what happened. But, I mean, if something happens and I'm right there, yeah, you've got a responsibility to do something. But, again, I just don't – it depends on the circumstance and if I'm there and if I see it.
Nate, you got your 2 cents on this one?
Well, yeah, it's not just for offensive linemen, man. You see any one of your players get punked and cheap-shotted, then you come right back in and, you know.
You got to do it.
Yes, you have to. I mean, you don't necessarily have to – to fight the guy, but you gotta make a scene. You gotta have a scuffle.
All right, then let me draw this back to the Broncos, because the Cowboys are being criticized that they're not a team enough to do that. Where do you think the Broncos are at this point as a team? Where do you think they are in terms of fighting for each other? Because we certainly saw the moments of Bradley Chubb yelling at the sideline, of Shelby Harris having issues, even with the coach. And now we know through Noah Fant and some other players that we had stuff that happened in the locker room after the game, defense, the offense. Where do you think this team really is, Orlando?
I mean, I think they like each other, but I don't think they love each other. I don't think once you leave the locker room that they're getting together. You know, that's one thing that I really loved about coming here with the Broncos. This was really close family for me. You know, there was times where Manny Ramirez's kids knew my name. You know, I felt like that was really cool because they were young kids, but that's how much we hung out with each other. We constantly would do dinners each and every week.
We got COVID to deal with. Do you think that's the problem or do you think it's...
Catered in.
Do something about it.
Every Saturday that we played at home, one of us, when I was here, my 4 years that I was here, one guy would bring in food for the offensive line. So meetings would start at 6:30. We'd get there at 5, and there would be somebody that's catered in food just for us.
You're not hearing that or seeing that from this team right now.
Yeah, I think they like each other and they like the idea of playing football, but it's like when you're in high school or junior high, that bell goes off, you're running out of class, right? You're leaving school,
mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of that going on with the Broncos. Guys are not staying late. You know, just real quick, I was always a downfield player. So when the ball was downfield, I'm running downfield. I'm chasing the block. I'm trying to go light somebody up. I remember in 2013, Manny Ramirez came to us as the offensive line. He said, hey, you know, what if we start, we play no huddle. We play hurry up. We should start staying after practice on Wednesdays and Thursdays and running gassers after practice. And I'm looking at him in my mind. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, why am I going to do this? But at the same time, I knew Manny Ramirez needed it because his conditioning wasn't there.
It's a very offensive lineman-like thing to say.
Yeah, to run, right?
What kind of offensive lineman comes up with an idea like that?
Let's run gassers. I was just like, you got to be kidding me.
What are you doing,
I knew that he needed it. So as his teammate, I was like, all right, let's do it.
Nate, what are you seeing?
So the fact that the tension boiled over and it came out and they talked about it and they're arguing about it, I think that's an opportunity for growth. Obviously, these guys, look, it goes back to the offseason. They haven't spent a lot of time together. There's actual restrictions on how close they can be to each other in the locker room and eating. They have to, like, eat in their own little spaces.
Their cars.
Nice. Yeah, so you can't go through the normal kind of things that bring you closer to teammates, because when you eat together, you all sit around the same table and make fun of each other, right? That's how guys get to know each other and get close with one another. You do that, and then you go out on the field and you do that, and that relationship is fortified by both aspects of being teammates: being on the field, going through that physicality together, and being off the field and getting to know each other and learning about each other that way. I feel like they don't know each other off the field, you know, and they're being restricted. Yeah. Well, but also these moments are what bring you closer together. These moments where you actually have a blowout is what makes you say, okay, well, let's talk about it. Let's apologize and let's come together. So hopefully this is a learning experience for these guys, and they are coming together through this adversity.
Yeah, maybe. I also know that I've never been on a good football team that has had infighting like that. I've been on bad football teams that have had stuff go down. Mm-hmm. And when I see stuff like that, to me, it says that this team is on the brink of turning their backs on each other entirely. I mean, honestly, I'm telling you, you know, during the Super Bowl year, the defense had every right in the world to come over and pick fights with us and have their moments like that. It never happened, probably because of Peyton Manning, if I'm being honest. It was probably mainly because of Peyton. Mm-hmm. But I've never been on a good team that's done that. So to me, when I see finger pointing and stuff like that, when you get in the locker room and you start saying offense, why aren't you doing your deal? That's a major cause for concern for me.
All right, real quick one to go around the horn. Last one here. Love doing the War Room, brought to you by Brothers Barbecue. So great that you guys are here. Finish this thought. I know when I've been on a good team, this happens. I know when I've been on a bad team, this happens. Orlando, when you've been on a good team, how do you know it? When you're on a bad team, how do you know it?
You score touchdowns. Same answer for both. When I'm on a good football team, we're scoring a lot of touchdowns. When you're on a bad football team, you're not scoring a lot of touchdowns.
Good one. Dane?
When you're on a good team, you don't lose two in a row.
Okay.
When you're on a bad team, you do.
Tyler?
Yeah, man. I mean, I know when I'm on a good football team, we're going to overcome adversity. And, you know, when something's going wrong and we're playing Cleveland in 2015 and we lose the game about five different ways, I just know that we're going to overcome the adversity. And when I'm on a bad team and adversity comes, people start pointing fingers and people start fighting. And all of a sudden, you know that this team's about to fold.
Are you guys convinced the Broncos are... One more, I lied. Is this Broncos team a good team or a bad team? Or we don't know. Good team, bad team, we don't know. Orlando.
I'm going to go with, I don't know yet.
Don't know.
You know, until I see a game plan that really plays in the strength of the offensive players, I got to go with, I don't know yet.
Okay, Nate?
Right now, compared to the other teams in the NFL, they are a bad team because they are 2-4. The two teams they beat are...
Do you think they're a bit... Not comparatively. Look, do you think they're...
I think they have the potential to be a good team, but they're not playing good right now.
Okay, Tyler?
Yeah, they're a bad team until they prove me otherwise. That's just where they're at. They've got potential on defense to be pretty respectable, and offensively, if they ever turn the corner, maybe they'll become a decent team, but they're not a good team, I know that.
Guys, thank you so much, Nate and Orlando, for taking time out of your day to get in here, man. That was a lot of fun. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate Brothers Barbecue. You know, we're close to the top of the hour, Orlando. Do you just want to do it for fun? I mean, do you just want to, you know, have a good time with it?
Yeah. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. No script, baby.
I thought you were looking
script,
for a script.
Baby.
You were looking everywhere. You panicked.
I was looking for a script.
Oh,
I was.
Give me a script. What am I
was.
Right
Tom Six is next.